Countdown. There we go.
You look.
There we go. We're live. College football week five. Always delivers. The weekend started crazy, I thought, as it was anyways, with a Hail Mary. And then Alabama, Georgia finishes with a shot in the end zone and a big play by Bama. But my goodness, that just shows you, Brent, like the roller coaster of college football and the roller coaster of momentum. Kirk said it on the broadcast. I thought he hit the nail on the head. Like, it's just hard. Once you get that momentum going, a lot of times it's so hard to get it back. Georgia got it, and they were slinging it. But how about the start, first of all, for Alabama? Here's what I thought was crazy, Brent. All the way into the fourth quarter, they had three carries by running backs. Three carries total until the fourth quarter. Alabama had a clear mission. We're going to run the football outside on the perimeter, and we are absolutely going to make sure that we stretch Georgia sideline to sideline. And we're going to use Jalen Milroe's athletic ability. And he looked like, in the first half, that he was kind of in fast forward and everybody else was in slow motion, and they had everything rolling.
Yeah. I mean, it's one where we talked about it before the game and previewing it, how much speed he has and how it's a gliding speed. And there were times where Georgia was somewhat in position, but there were also things to me where, especially in the first drive, where formationally things that Alabama had done in the past 3 weeks, but then also stuff that I thought Georgia would be prepared for, they got out formationed to where it was just easy, like jet sweep away from a 3-by-1 trips, like multiple times early in the game, and then for a touchdown later, like stuff where it's like, okay, did you not see this in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, but I also thought that Alabama did a good job mixing up what they did do in the first week. I mean, first couple weeks, they attacked the middle of the field good. The passing game, ball getting out really, really quickly, getting them out of their hands. I thought Georgia made it really easy on them early. But you know what? It's interesting because Georgia's defense came up with a few critical stops early in that game. But here's another thing that happened. If you went to the other side of the football, Carson Beck did not see what he thought he was going to see, because I think of Carson Beck, and I think what we've talked about before, when you make Carson Beck stop his feet, reset his feet, and go again, he becomes very human. When you see Carson Beck take shots down the field, it becomes problematic sometimes. It's not his best way of attacking the football field. Dude, well, here's what happened. Like, he had to start taking more chances, right? Like, but what Alabama did to start the game to give him problems was it was a three-man rush. Like, it looked like blitz. It was a three-man rush. Looked like blitz, three-man rush. Make him make things happen himself.
Looked like man played zone behind.
Yes, and the problem was, not only did he make mistakes with two INTs, he also gives up the safety. I mean, that was as bad of a half we've ever seen him play. He is usually pretty error-free. He doesn't make big plays a lot of times, I think, because he doesn't want to make the big mistake, and he made some big mistakes.
The one interception was as bad as an interception to me, as you'll see.
The one over the middle of the field?
Yes. Where 11 threw it right at 11. Obviously, if you're thinking from a Georgia fan perspective, possibly he came back, he battled and found something. But there was, if you're looking at it from the, I think I saw Orlovsky tweet, that was a $30 million night for the QBs. It went one way for one guy and it went the other way for the other guy. Unfortunately. Yeah,
but I'll tell you what, here's what I take away from Georgia and from Carson Beck. If Carson Beck is willing to let the ball ride like that and take deep shots that are there consistently and let Arian Smith make some plays, he's going to miss some. By the way, the first drive, Arian Smith missed that play. Yeah, I mean, he could have changed the game. Like, that was a big deal. The running game was non-existent. Listen, all the Bobo retractors, all the Bobo haters, they came out pass, like throwing the football, trying to be aggressive. Beck had his worst day, rebounded great the second half, chucked the pill. By the way, the fumble was enormous in the second half by him when he was trying to scramble. But yeah. I liked he was willing to run the football. He was willing to make plays. Bama stayed aggressive, by the way. They didn't get conservative. You know, they were still throwing the football in a four-minute type situation. And then Ryan freaking Williams.
I was saying, we've been talking for 5 minutes. You haven't mentioned two yet.
Ryan freaking Williams. Jalen Milroe, star of the first half. Dude's wheels was big, getting the football out of his hands, making Houdini plays, shrugging off a big 300-pound defensive lineman with Christian Miller. And then Ryan Williams, late in the game, you needed a play, contorts his body, catches the ball somehow like this. You know what he does, Brent? What's crazy about him? When he has the ball and he turns, it looks different than everybody else who turns. It looks different than everybody else who moves. Like, he just kind of, and it's like, which one of y'all kick me? Like, he's so quick, so dynamic, made the big play late in the football game when they had to have it. And that was clutch.
It's just the insanity of that game. Because, and thinking about it, and I was even writing as the game was going on, where it's 33 to 15. It's what it was. And it felt like it was 60 to 3. Like, it felt like utter domination from on the Alabama side, yet hanging around. But like you're talking about with Williams, though, even on the curl route, where he's like, okay, the guy might be right behind me, so I'm going to fake one way.
Oh, yeah.
And then go and then spin again. Like, that's next level natural talent that you just can't teach.
And by the way, you could play the drinking game, everybody at home. If you want to play the drinking game, every time you hear Ryan Williams, 17 years old, you can play that game if you'd prefer to. The over-under is usually about 4 to 6 that you're going to hear. And he graduated early, and he's just 17 years old. He
should be a senior in high school.
But the running game for Alabama, two takeaways from Alabama. Shocked at the lack of running game outside of Milroe. And if Alabama to play in the future, to continue to play great defense, which I think they're going to play good defense, their lack of pass rush showed up too in the second half. Like, where was it consistently? We're so used to seeing edge guys fly off the edge, make plays, hit quarterbacks, but the game freaking delivered. The game was awesome. It looked like it was going to be really bad. And another huge point about all this, one, I think you found something out about Beck if you're Georgia. He's got to be more aggressive. Hopefully this makes him become more aggressive. Two, that's big for the college football playoffs, because when you throw stinkers up there, people are going to point out, oh, they got the crap kicked out of them. You know, yeah. It was an ugly loss. Because what you do at the end of the season, you start comparing ugly losses. And what you saw was Georgia fight back. Now, we can definitely argue if they were ready to rock and roll, because they weren't. And they struggled out the gates. But the way they finished, I was curious, Brent, what would you have done? I was curious if they scored to tie it up instead of throwing the interception in the end zone, were you going for two, or were you kicking the extra point for one?
Two all day, every day, going for two.
I'm not. And I tell you why. I would go for two if I thought I had no shot. But I think Georgia was clearly the better team in the second half, and your defense had played so well. That's the only reason I said in my mind, like, I was talking with my son, I was like, I would kick it. Normally I would say I stole this game to get back into it, but I felt like Georgia probably felt like they were the better team, you know, down the stretch.
The other thing too there, maybe that if it's the lack of success they had on the 2-point plays.
They weren't good. I mean,
to that.
But the throw across Beck's body to Lucky was silly. Like, roll out to the right, throw it back to the left. That was absolutely dope. That was crazy. I thought that might not be the top story we talked about, but how about Kentucky? Scared Georgia. They were at home. You know, the offensive line has struggled for Kentucky all year long. What we thought we might see, I thought Ole Miss would outscore them and put up big numbers. Kentucky used the perfect formula. They used the only formula they could to win the football game. That's the problem. Like, a lot of teams, there's only a few teams in the country, about five, that can literally play any style and type win. Like, Georgia got down, they showed you they can still score, so they got a chance to stay in games. You know, they got a chance to win different ways. Kentucky has to play great defense. Kentucky has to possess the football. Kentucky has to stay in running situations, not passing situations, the way they've protected their quarterback. They did all of that. Brent, 22 minutes to 8 minutes in the first half time of possession, one penalty, zero turnovers. They hung around, and they made plays, and they won the football game.
And the biggest thing was, to me, watching Ole Miss is how much of Ole Miss still depends on the running game to get everything going for them. And it's the past few years watching Ole Miss and watching their offense, when it's third down and definitive passing situations, it just leaves a lot to be desired. Now, when they get the tempo rolling and they're getting first downs, it's a whole different look. But the drop, to me, that they didn't have any answers when it was Kentucky stopped the running game, and it became in some of the drop back game or some of the different things that they had to do when it was third down. Because I think it was like 1 of 10 at one point. Yeah, 1 of 10 on third down for Ole Miss. That doesn't you can't win football games that way.
And Ole Miss is banged up at running back, but I really think they missed Quinshon Judkins because he was so physical and broke so many tackles. And then guess what they did? After they broke tackles and got another first down and another first down, now they wears you out. Like, now that Ole Miss tempo can just wear you out. And I thought they lacked that. But here's another thing, too, about a great coach. Mark Stoops is a great coach. Mark Stoops is a phenomenal football coach. He's disciplined. He's tough. The best part about Mark Stoops is Mark Stoops learned. And what do I mean by that? Against Georgia, fourth down around midfield, should have went for it. Had nothing to lose. I think you shouldn't have really been in the game. I feel like you had Georgia in a spot where you could take advantage. You should have gone for it on fourth and kind of mid-range. How about this? Fourth and 8 from your own 20. And Mark Stoops, with 4 minutes left, says, "Snake eyes, brother. Like, roll it. I got sevens." And they go,
and not just they go, it wasn't just a, you know, sort of, hey, let's get the guy over the middle. It was a deep shot bomb.
Bomb down the field. 63 yards. They punch it in a few plays later. By the way, little fortuitous, right? When the Wildcat QB comes in the game and he fumbles it into the end zone and they pick it up. And then their defense, you know, gets a stop down the stretch. But
so speaking of that quarterback, I think that was a very great strategic plan from them.
For them to fumble into the end zone and follow?
No, to use him.
Great strategic plan. I agree.
But to use that guy, because that was how they were going to run the football a lot of times, was with the QB run game. And you weren't going to – like, Vandergriff wasn't going to survive that taking 25 carries and 25 hits. That guy come in, get some carries, positive yards – keep you in the game, keep the clock running. That was to me very smart by them.
Yeah, because they ran him a lot early. I mean, they ran him a ton because he needed to run. But the 4 minute mark, 4th and 8, that was just stupid. I love when guys learn, man. They learn from mistakes. And Mark Stoops said, "That's right, we need to roll the dice." Lane Kiffin did it at the 50-yard line earlier in the game, by the way, and got a touchdown, a 50-yard touchdown on fourth down. So a lot of big plays made on fourth down. A game that did not have a lot of big plays, Oklahoma and Auburn. It was not a great game to watch for a large percent of the game, but Sooner magic wins out. And if you don't know what that is, you're not a Sooner fan, okay? But I was impressed. The freshman was okay. Like, he was all right. Comes out the game, and the nice long run was good. In Jordan Hare, everybody going nuts. Hawkins, a true freshman, was like, "All right, I'm good." Takes off. They get up 7-0, and then Auburn fights back. Auburn dominated the football game. Like, Auburn won this football game up and down the field. Peyton Thorne looked ridiculous. He threw for 300-and-something yards, 3 TDs. But somehow, some way, Oklahoma's defense kept him in the football game. They couldn't score a lot of points, and then Sooner magic.
The way the vibe changed, the instantaneous just, oh no. Especially if you're sitting there as an Auburn fan in the stadium, because it's like, okay, we're going to run out the clock here. All good. This is just going to, they can't do anything. And then it's just gone. Game lost. And you don't feel really good about yourself if you're an Auburn fan now, about your direction and vibe and everything. It's not good.
So, some numbers for you. Oklahoma outgained 482 to 291. First downs 26 to 11. Quarterback matchup was 161 throwing to Peyton Thorne's 338 and 3 touchdowns. I at one point, honestly, I thought, does Oklahoma go to Jackson Arnold again? Like, because it was not good. I mean, they couldn't put drives together. One big play over the top. Auburn, you know, they were up 21 to 10, had every chance to kind of salt the game away. And the absolute thing that's been happening all year long to Auburn at the quarterback spot happened at the absolute wrong time. And he throws it right to the linebacker, and it's a pick six. And you blinked, and you were like, what the flip just happened? Like, what? Like, Auburn fans are sitting there going, we're losing? Like, see, what happened was, I mean, it was nuts. It was nuts to see. Credit to Oklahoma for banging around, for playing great defense, because they're going to play great defense every game. They didn't play as good as they've been playing. They played against Tennessee, but found a way to win the football game, and that's all that flipping matters. So moving right along, Notre Dame, Louisville. Notre Dame, big, huge win. I think this was big time, especially to me, because the way this football game started, Notre Dame gets the opening kickoff. They fumble it. Louisville scores just like that.
Instantaneously.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, here we go. Like, Notre Dame's going to get plowed. 21 unanswered.
And then Riley, the turnovers are the other way. They got the turnovers.
And Riley Leonard, by the way, he wasn't freak show by any stretch, but his feet continue to be a huge deal. He had 13 rushes, was the leading rusher, leading carrier. So a ton of carries. He continues to get beat up, by the way. I mean, he continues to hang on the ground at least once a game where he's like, my shoulder. But he went 7 for 23 passing, you know, didn't turn the football over, took care of it. They played good defense. I was really impressed with Notre Dame and the way they responded offensively, defensively, and even with a little adversity early.
And I think, like, you know, you had picked Louisville when we did the preview. And I thought I was sort of leaning that way even more so when you found out that that the South Alabama transfer, the receiver kid, was going to play. I forget his name at the time. Colin something. And he was their leading receiver for Louisville. But they held on. And now when you look at Notre Dame's schedule, Stanford, Georgia Tech, but they have two games against two teams who are 4-0 for the first time together since 1945. They still got Army and Navy on their schedule, who are both undefeated, amazingly. Or not amazingly, but it's, like I said, first time since 1945 that those two are undefeated. But Notre Dame hangs around.
Then they end with USC at the end of the season, who – yep. We're not going to talk a lot about the Wisconsin-USC game, but USC came out bad and then kicked it in gear. It was really fun to watch them. They've handled adversity pretty well this season. But Notre Dame, very much alive in the playoff race. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of control their own destiny. I know it sounds weird because they lost to NIU, but remember, there's so many more people that are in this. And in the past, Georgia-Alabama, you're like, I mean, Georgia's kind of out of this thing, you know, like you think a 14 playoff, like they're going to need some help. But with the 12 teams, man, we got so many more teams in this. And that is freaking awesome. Like, it's so much fun to watch when you know there's more down the road that are going to continue to matter. More games are going to matter. More conference championships are going to matter. So it's fun from that standpoint. And speaking of playoffs, just a team kind of banging around, not getting a lot of attention. I don't think they've looked great, but Penn State, we are doing exactly what we need to do. And it continues to be, I think they have the best 1-2 punch at running back in the country. I mean, I think, you know, when you watch Allen and you watch Singleton, like, they are physical, thick guys that break tackles, that make runs, and Penn State, you know, still finding itself in the passing game, and as long as they don't turn it over. But what do you think about Penn State, you know, beating a good Illinois team that we saw show up against Nebraska that was undefeated and ranked?
Two things, like you said. One, their running game, but also no one can run on them. No one has run on them in the four games this season. And we talked about, hey, where's the pass rush? We hear about all the dudes. I think they had 7 sacks in the game against Illinois. So that if that starts showing up consistently for them, and then they, you know, maybe peel off one of the other Big Ten teams that they get to face.
Yep.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be in the mix.
Altmaier finally made a mistake. You know, he had 10 tutties and 0 INTs. He makes a mistake late in the game. But another thing to look out for when you watch Penn State, watch Big Ty Warren, number 44, checks in situations at quarterback. Number 44, played high school quarterback. The dude is a dude, running the football, handling it off. Like, he's just a big, looks like a daggum fullback, man. And Warren just, He opened up a little bit of the offense in the red where you could get some touchdowns. Dude flips into the end zone from a couple yards out. It was absolutely fantastic. But Penn State, very much alive in this thing. Another team that I thought survived, that bounced back. Another team that said, don't forget about us, Kansas State, the Wildcats, Emaw, every man a Wildcat. Like against BYU, they had some good offense. But came up short and got beat up pretty good. And Brent, like I knew coming into this football game, because I know their program, just like I knew Michigan against USC, like this is a proud program with a bunch of dudes that you can trust. And they came out and showed it, and they put a whooping on Oklahoma State. So I love
Avery Johnson's as good as it gets. Avery Johnson, as good as it gets. Like he's a playmaker, big time playmaker.
Yeah, and here's the thing I'll say about Avery Johnson. Since when I've watched him, I haven't been impressed. Now, listen, they got a first-time play caller too, and so I think they're learning as they go. I haven't been impressed with the offense. Giddens is good. Like, Giddens is really good. Like, he almost outrushed for 200 today on less than 15.
The move he made on the safety on the long touchdown.
Give him a little something.
The safety just was like he was in concrete.
Yes, that was really, really cool. But I also think that Kansas State and their pride – their running game, and like you said, Avery Johnson, I'm starting to see Avery Johnson do this and make plays down the field. And that's when this offense will get scary because it's got all the QB run elements. Giddens is going to get space because of Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson's going to get space because of Giddens. But making plays down the field and explosive plays, if that's something that this offense can get their hands around. Now, their pass defense was not good early in the game, by the way. They were handsy. They were getting penalties, and that's not normal for them to not play extremely disciplined. But
I think Kansas State is going to be so interesting, though.
It's going to be awesome. Iowa State won again.
I mean, BYU, the team that thumped.
BYU's got some – their offense is explosive, man. They're making – every time you look up, it's like 21 points in a quarter or something good happening for them. So, obviously, got the win against K-State. Utah, and when Cam Rising gets back, too, because – you know, they're still in battles right now. I think that they're still
down 7 to Arizona
And Arizona can score and can play. They're playing better defense, you know, throughout the season. But it's been fun to watch the momentum, and it's fun to watch the football season kick off, or this week's season kick off with something silly with a Hail Mary, and then
so what was your call? What do you think should have happened? Or
I think
they get it right.
Okay, so watching that when they were debating whether it was incomplete or caught, I thought for a second, I was like, oh, he caught it. He possessed it. And you see the DB kind of rip it out. Like, but how much did he maintain it on the ground? And because if he catches it and he lands on his butt and he has possession and you rip it out, it's a touchdown. Doesn't matter. Either way, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that you overturned it. Like, whatever the call was, I'm fine. Like, if you called that a touchdown, I'm fine. And you say call stands. To say I have enough evidence to overturn that, I thought that was booty cheeks.
That was crazy.
I thought that was absolute booty cheeks. Like, I didn't see that. But here's the thing. Miami's defense is not elite.
Can't run all over.
You can run all over. You can make plays. Drones and Virginia Tech was set up because I think they're better than they've showed. Tootin can tote that rock, by the way. That dude, even with a knee brace. By the way, it's hard to run with a knee brace. And he was running out there with a knee brace breaking tackles. And I thought the call was bad. But Cam Ward, the dude's good, man. And he made some mistakes. And
that's, a lot of mistakes.
I literally said, I literally tweeted out, and I love the reaction from people. It said, I said, if Miami can get a stop here, Cam Ward will have a chance to have a Heisman moment. And they were like, he had 3 turnovers. There's no Heisman moment. The dude threw for over 300, had over 3 touchdowns, and is making this thing tick and making this thing go. And then all of a sudden, shrugs somebody off, dips underneath them,
2 guys,
and flips it to his big tight end, and off he goes down. And unbelievable finish. The Heisman Trophy, Jalen Milroe had to have asserted himself firmly in that race.
He went to number 1, live odds, during the game.
And Cam Ward's got to be 2. And – You know what though?
3.
We got a lot of football, and it really doesn't matter because you're gonna have to have the Heisman moments. I'll tell you this: one of the best players hands down, and the best running back in the country plays at Boise.
Yes.
Ginty, I can't wait to see how they end up and where they go. That dude's a baller. Another 50-yard touchdown run week after week. He is one of the best players in all of college football and deserves props because he's that freaking good. So we're going to keep talking about I'm going to keep talking about him, I promise. But wild week, a lot that happened. The polls should be fun. We didn't even mention Texas and Arch, who's, by the way, I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I think if Quinn Ewers gets back, I think he is the guy because Quinn Ewers has the scars. He has those scars, and he's had those losses in those tough moments, and I can trust him. Arch Manning, I will say this right now, that dude's deep ball is ridiculous. It is on point. He's got a little more athletic ability than Quinn. I think Quinn's better probably on the edges with those quick throws that can take advantage. But the deep ball down the field, Arch looks pretty dang good. But Ole Miss going down at 6, a team in the SEC that's highly ranked, still has a chance, by the way, to be in this thing. So you got anything else before we skedaddle out?
Well, I actually think that may have been – I mean, I know we kind of have pushed him to the side a little bit, but that was probably the biggest win for Coach Prime at Colorado.
Yeah.
Like going to UCF and they started to run the football. That was like I watched a decent amount. That was one of the boxes. That was when they start running the football and balancing it out with what the insanity of Travis Hunter that he's doing.
Yep.
Okay.
What did I say on the picks this week? And you know me, I'm critical. I'm going to tell you when you do good and tell you when you do bad. I've been impressed with Colorado's run defense. I said that. Like they're growing and getting better, and I see more discipline. I see more fits. And I think they played the run really well today too, because UCF does it. Gus Malzahn's always done that. Like he's always been able to run the football and take advantage. And Shador played well, even though, by the way, Shador throws a pick on the first possession, backed up. No, and then Colorado, they get a pick in the end zone to save their bacon, and then they go bananas and win the football game. But yeah, Travis Hunter making a pick, scoring a touchdown, you know, is ridiculous. Also one of the best players in all of college football. But hey, listen, we'll be back again this week, dudes. We'll be back later in the week. You got something else?
I got one more thing. I think we have to give props to UNLV.
And without their dude,
QB, Haj Malik Williams. 182, three tutties throwing, 119 and a touchdown running after all that happened this week, and they put a thumping on Fresno. That's some impressive coaching and just team and all the things that go into playing the game when you got your starting quarterback just kind of isn't
peace
there.
Out. He said, I'm going to go redshirt because of the NIL money, and he should, by the way, but led the team in rushing, led the team in passing. And he wasn't getting fulfilled on his contract. And he said, I'm out. And then UNLV bounces back. And very much with Boise and Memphis and others in that conversation for the non-Power 4 teams that is guaranteed a playoff spot. So thanks for listening, dudes. First time we really got to go live on here and not screw it up too bad. If you like us, you can subscribe to us. Man, we'll keep putting out good content. If you don't like us, send an email to Britt Rollins and tell him how terrible he is and tell him you don't like him.
Hey, it's easy. It's easy to do.
Appreciate you, dudes. See y'all
later.